All right, the Harbowl coming up in just a few minutes. What is this, Harbowl 3? Remember, it was Ravens, 49ers, Thanksgiving night, 2011. Obviously, the Super Bowl in 2012. And now we've got the Chargers and the Ravens. John is still in the same old spot with Baltimore. But Jim is now with the Chargers, who are low-key one of the most intriguing teams in the league. Maybe the best defense in the league. I don't think that anybody familiar with Jim Harbaugh is all too surprised about this. I was shocked that a lot of the media wasn't on board with Jim Harbaugh turning this around quickly. He's turned everywhere that he's been around quickly. Even Stanford, I covered Harbaugh back at Stanford. That was, they didn't have a great team talent-wise the first year that he was there, 2007, but they beat USC, they beat Cal, two teams that were favored to do a lot more than they were. I mean, USC had Pete Carroll, and they won the Rose Bowl that year, but Stanford went into Southern California and won that game. They're 41-point underdogs. Anyway, we get to see Jim Harbaugh, potentially the best defense in the league with the Chargers against Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh's Ravens. Should be fun. This is not going to be as fun. These are the 49ers grades from today. That's a picture of Christian McCaffrey. Cool shot, by the way. But as you might expect, the grades were not good. I pull no punches. It's up on the San Francisco Standard. We can talk about this briefly, position by position. Starting with, you know, immediately with quarterback, and SF Data 49ers just put up a really cool graphic that helps showcase the drop-off at the quarterback position the 49ers having to go to a backup. So this is what SF Data Niners just tweeted out. Great account, by the way. You should follow them. You can see their handle here in the lower right corner. I could make it appear there. There you go. SF Data Niners on Twitter. Part of the brutal grades for the 49ers. So green is good. Red is bad. Yellow is going to be somewhere in between. So if it moves on into orange, it's below average. The column that is the be-all, end-all is the efficiency column here. That's going to incorporate all the other splits into it. How efficient is a quarterback? How well does he work within the context of Kyle Shanahan's offense? As you can see, Brock Purdy had been damn good for the season. His worst performance was against the Kansas City Chiefs. So he was in the negatives, negative 0.09, very, very slightly in the negatives. Just like he was against Minnesota, negative 0.02. Not surprisingly, they lost both the Vikings game and the Chiefs game. I don't know how the 49ers lost to the Rams when Purdy was this good, 0.42. He was 89th percentile performance against the Rams, yet somehow they lost that game in week three. Won that great against the Cardinals, and obviously they lost that game really narrowly. Really good in so many other games so far this year. You could see that there's a predetermined floor now for Brock Purdy. It doesn't go much lower than negative 0.09. We might have seen one game lower than that. It was the Ravens game last Christmas for Purdy. But he has established a decently high floor, and his ceiling is outstanding. That's why Brock Purdy has been the most efficient quarterback in football ever since he joined the league in 2022. Yes, higher than even Patrick Mahomes. It's number one, Brock Purdy. Number two, Patrick Mahomes in terms of EPA per play, in terms of DVOA as well. And it's because the ceiling is extremely high. What he did against Tampa Bay at 0.49 EPA was wild, 93rd percentile, despite some of the challenges the 49ers were dealing with. What he's done against the Jets, against the Rams, against the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Cowboys. I mean, all these games, these are really, really good scores. And the context that you get from Brock Purdy's scores is useful when you look at what Brandon Allen did against the Packers yesterday. Brandon Allen, negative 0.36. So the 49ers had typically had a quarterback performing around the 80th percentile, even better sometimes, maybe slightly worse on a couple occasions in the 70th percentiles. They had a quarterback yesterday in the 12th percentile. Negative 0.36, big time efficiency drop off. So you've got red here where you had typically green for Brock Purdy, in the quarterback column. So there are other graphics that help us contextualize this. I have Brandon Allen over his 49 snaps graded as a D in this game. We can take a look at the XY chart here that should help you as well, because Purdy has been an upper right guy on the XY chart. Here you go. You want to be further to the right, further up. PFF grade for the quarterbacks is on the X-axis. So the further to the right you are, the better your PFF grade. EPA per play, further up. Here's Purdy, exactly where you want to be in the upper right for the 49ers. Not too far from Josh Allen. Get to see Lamar Jackson tonight. But Purdy's logo is right where Mayfield's is. And, you know, Mayfield's been good this year. It was fun to watch him fight in Tampa Bay. That was a duel between Brock Purdy and Baker Mayfield there at the end. Mayfield didn't have a whole lot of production throughout the game because the Buccaneers were out of receivers. No Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jalen McMillan was also hurt, but Mayfield fought in that game, and so did Purdy. They were going back and forth. Anyway, that's where Purdy is. You want to be further to the right, further up. This is now just from yesterday. Obviously, Purdy didn't play, so he's not on this graph. Look where Brandon Allen is. Bottom left. It's where you don't want to be. Next to DeVito from New York. Minshew, who broke his collarbone yesterday. Not good, right? That's the drop-off that the 49ers saw. Now, you guys know me. I was saying that I grade everything on a curve. And for the quarterback position, the 49ers did not help Brandon Allen out. You know that you're not going to get, in all likelihood, a great performance from your backup. I had mentioned it entering this game. Brandon Allen had 9 career starts, and he was really good in 3 of them. So there was a higher chance the 49ers were going to get a bad start instead of a good one. There's a higher chance they're going to get something in the 70 range as far as passer rating instead of something in the 110 or 120 range. They got something in the 70 range. Wasn't graded well in terms of PFF grade. It didn't score well in terms of expected points added per play. So the 49ers needed more juice defensively. They needed more juice from their offensive line. They needed Deebo Samuel to catch passes. They didn't get any of that, which is why the rest of my grades up on the standard are so brutal. You can see the article right here. I embedded some of these graphs. But running back, C-. And no, Christian McCaffrey has not lost the step. Deebo Samuel hasn't lost the step either. You saw the Christian McCaffrey play where he fumbled. He shot out of a cannon. I'm still trying to figure it out. I've asked a lot, and you know, one of the explanations from Shanahan is that teams are geared up for it defensively, but the 49ers have thrown the fewest screen passes in the league. They've thrown only 26 screen passes with Brock Purdy. The Chiefs are number one. They've thrown 66 for Patrick Mahomes. So the reason I talk about screen passes is that Christian McCaffrey caught one late in the game yesterday, and he shot out of a cannon. Plenty of speed. Plenty of burst, but he fumbled at the end of the play. It was a 23-yard gain. Forget the fumble and forget Debo's drops for a second. We'll get back to those mistakes. There's still plenty of speed from both of those players. There's still plenty of burst for both of those players. Deebo Samuel returned a kick about 90 yards yesterday. Got called back, but he obviously still has the athleticism to run away from NFL guys. So that's in place for the 49ers. But for them to be able to offensively produce at the consistent level that they did in the past, or at least stay afloat when Brock Purdy's not available, they have to avoid the jarring mistakes from Deebo Samuel in terms of the drop, the one from Christian McCaffrey in terms of the fumble, but game was probably over at that point anyway. But they also have to put those players into position to be able to showcase their athleticism. Christian McCaffrey was generally not in position to do that yesterday because they could not consistently run block up front. The interior, especially with Jake Brendel and John Feliciano, they're not getting John Feliciano back. They probably could use John Feliciano, but with Brendel and Aaron Banks at center and left guard, not reaching the second level consistently, was not straining with the appropriate athleticism and the appropriate strength. I mean, it's really hard to do some of this stuff in Kyle Shanahan's system, but they were not creating the necessary holes for Christian McCaffrey in the zone blocking scheme. So everybody says, oh, well, Christian McCaffrey's lost a step. it couldn't be, and they'll say the same thing about Deebo Samuel, that analysis couldn't be more off. We have examples of these guys showcasing the burst, the full burst that they have in the past, but within the structure of the offense, due to either Shanahan struggles or the 49ers blocking struggles or a combination thereof, you could throw in the quarterback change yesterday because not having Purdy in there has a ripple effect on so many things. If you add all that up, the opportunities just aren't there in the way that the 49ers need them to be there. So anyway, I've got C- for the running backs because McCaffrey did fumble and it was 11 carries, 31 yards on 11 carries. It's hard for me to grade it much higher than a C when that's the output, but I do think that the 49ers still have a lot of juice left in the tank when it comes to Christian McCaffrey and what he can bring physically. They're waiting for him to pop off, but they really, really need that offensive line and Shanahan's play calling. They need everything to jive together. Receiver gave him a D. The wide receiver room for San Francisco yesterday, people will remember the two Deebo Samuel drops. There's no Brandon Ayuk right now, so I think that's really hurting some of the spacing of the 49ers offense. They had last year. Ayuk this year wasn't all too effective, but last year he was so effective. It was taking some pressure off of a Deebo Samuel because now somebody like Deebo is seeing more of the top cornerback coverage, right? Brandon Ayuk used to draw the top guy. Now the top guy is filtering down into other receivers on this 49ers offense. So that's tough from a spacing perspective. Juwan Jennings is now drawing a ton of attention to the point where he had 5 catches, but only 40 yards, which is only 8 yards a catch, which isn't all that much. It wasn't an efficient day for the 49ers receiving core. No targets for Ricky Pearsall over 33 snaps. So game grade of a D. Game grade of an A for George Kittle. That's the one A that I gave out. George Kittle, future Hall of Famer. The 49ers should re-sign him if they can. If George Kittle is willing to sign something sooner, the 49ers should do it now. He's under contract through 2025. He's 31 years old. He has shown no signs of slowing down. One could argue that this is the best George Kittle has ever played. You saw how important he is to the offense based on what happened when he was gone in that game against the Seattle Seahawks. He is still the heart and soul of the 49ers. Brings a great attitude to work every day. Brings mojo to the 49ers locker room that I think is very valuable. If they can extend George Kittle early, over a year before his contract is up, I think it'd be a huge win for the 49ers. You do not let a future Hall of Famer walk out that door. And this is the ultimate chance at cost efficiency. It's been very cost efficient for years, ever since they picked them in the 5th round. But Kittle is the most effective weapon on the currently available 49ers to beat man coverage. Yet they're not getting him at a receiver rate. They're getting him at a tight end rate, which is much lower. So that's the ultimate cost efficiency. It should be priority number one for the 49ers to bring back George Kittle beyond 2025. Look at how well Travis Kelce has played well into his 30s. I think George Kittle has that in the tank as well. A for the tight ends. D for the offensive line. Unfortunately, no John Feliciano. Told you about that in the big update that I did from the San Jose airport after I landed back for Green Bay. The knee hasn't responded the way that the 49ers have wanted it to. John posted here on Twitter. I embedded the tweet. Tried my hardest. Father Time is real. Hoping this ain't the end, but if it is, hell of a ride. Feliciano is going to try to play one more season. Initially, he was talking about this being his last season, but he had the knee surgery and he wasn't able to get activated. So he's going to try to give it a go for one more season. He's only under contract through this one with the 49ers, with a concussion to Aaron Banks and an MRI to Dominic Pooney's shoulder and the struggles of Jake Brendel. You know, the 49ers offensive line gets a D. Jalen Moore was actually good replacing Trent Williams. That wasn't the issue for the 49ers. But with all that happening to San Francisco, I think that they could have really benefited from a John Feliciano return. Remember last year he came in and he took over the starting right guard position, upgraded the right guard position when he took over for Spencer Burford. But that's bad news for the 49ers because Feliciano won't be available this year. What? They can't just snap their fingers and upgrade one of those interior line spots like they did last season. And I think that might be the biggest issue with this 49ers offense right now. And I've been talking about it all year. center, left guard. Dominic Pooney, last year the problem was right guard and right tackle. Pooney has upgraded the right guard position. I know that he didn't have his best game yesterday, and he underwent the MRI on his shoulder today. We'll have more on that a little bit later this week. But it's still been a really nice year for Dominic Pooney, and he's helped Colton McKivitz improve at right tackle. And McKivitz has made some strides as well at that right tackle position, to the point where that's no longer the glaring weakness of this line. I think it's center and left guard. They get a D. Defensive line gets a D as well from me. Leonard Floyd has 6.5 sacks now. He had 2 sacks yesterday. He was the lone bright spot. The 49ers weren't setting edges. I thought that they were out of their gap on a couple of the delays that the Packers ran early to Josh Jacobs. That set a bad tone. Kyle Shanahan shared today that that first delay, the big gain to Josh Jacobs, they actually caught the 49ers in the blitz, a rare second down blitz. There was an incompletion, then the 49ers blitz. So Nick Sorensen was trying to do something exotic on that second down, but he got burned. Sometimes if you run against the blitz and you run to the right spot that the blitz is vacated, then it's going to be a big gain. That's exactly what happened. It was Jair Brown who had to make the island tackle against Josh Jacobs, and obviously Jair Brown failed. Josh Jacobs spun out of the tackle and sprinted downfield. So regardless of that, really, really tough performance for the 49ers defensive line. I know there are 19 missed tackles behind well, some of them were from the defensive line, but there are a lot of those missed tackles came from the back seven for the 49ers in this game. And when that happens, you can often say, well, they would have done better against the run had, you know, Jair Brown executed better tackling, had Fred Warner not missed 4 tackles. That's all great. I'll get to the linebackers and the defensive backs and the grades here in a moment, but the defensive line shares its culpability too. The edge setting was poor in this game. They did lose Jordan Elliott to concussion. He's one of their main run stoppers. I think the defensive tackles washed out way too often. I mean, whenever you give up 125 rushing yards and a half, there's got to be failures at all levels of the defense. And it's tougher when you don't have Nick Bosa, because Bosa's taken up 2 blockers a lot of the time. But it couldn't have been that bad for the 49ers. They were embarrassed by that performance, and obviously they should have been. And they were open about being embarrassed by that performance, because in the National Football League, even if you are a little bit shorthanded, you just can't let that happen. Linebackers, D minus. Take a look at this. This is Fred Warner's grades this year. He was in the 90s for 3 of the first 4 games. 92.6, 95.8, 96.6 against New England. I mean, when we look at how effective Warner was early for the 49ers, he was on a track to be the defensive player of the year, or at least one of the finalists for that award. But ever since he sprained his ankle against New England, look at the grades. This is PFF, 54, 61.4, 65, 72.8, 69.7, 67.3, and then 44.7, 4 missed tackles against Green Bay. So I think obviously the ankle injury, tough for Fred Warner. Good news for the 49ers is Dre Greenlaw, his practice window is opening this week. So we're going to see him back out on the practice field on Wednesday. Defensive backs, I gave him a D+. Yeah, Jordan Love only threw for 163, but how bad would it have been had Christian Watson caught that perfectly thrown bomb where he beat Isaac Yadam? So, and there were a couple drops from the Packers in this game that really made the box score in terms of pass defense look a lot better for the 49ers than it was. Yadam got beat a lot yesterday. Renardo Green hurt his neck. Thought that was the worst game of his young career. Jair Brown missed 3 tackles for the 49ers, dropped an interception. The one bright spot for San Francisco in the secondary, and this is a big bright spot, is Malik Mustafa. Over his past 4 games, Malik Mustafa has the highest tackling grade in the entire NFL. Highest in the entire league, and that's out of any defender, safety, cornerback, linebacker, defensive lineman. Malik Mustafa is at the very top of the list. The tackling grade of over 90 from Pro Football Focus. So Malik is a fixture. Now Jair Brown's got to prove that he's a fixture moving forward. We'll see if Talanoa Hufanga reenters the mix. Charvarius Ward might play this weekend. Remember, Diamante Lenore undergoing an MRI for the 49ers. So that's one cornerback spot that's faces an injury question. And Renardo Green is coming off the neck injury. So the 49ers need Mooney back to strengthen that, especially given the next opponent, the Buffalo Bills. And then I gave special teams a C+. They actually gained 2.1 expected points on special teams. Borderline miraculous, but they gained 2.1 on special teams, but they lost 19.4 on offense. They lost 3 touchdowns worth of production expected points wise on offense, and 12.2 expected points were lost on defense. So offense and defense were complete catastrophes, hence this terrible report card that I gave the 49ers. But special teams was actually slightly in the positive, yet they still left a ton on the field. I mean, we're talking holding penalties on multiple punt returns, holding penalty on the long kick return for Deebo Samuel. Moody did make the field goal for the 49ers. That was good. But they also fumbled a kick return. Isaac Grendel, they got back on it, but just absolutely brutal stuff for the 49ers. They have to be better on special teams. They have to be cleaner on special teams. And, you know, a lot of people disagree with the holding call and Eric Saubert that called back the Deebo Samuel return, but it happened. And it's almost like the 49ers have a reputation on special teams that precedes them. It's tough. So they get a C+. I'm going to answer a few questions. And I'm going to ask Mike to send me something, and then I'm going to go watch the Harbaugh, because that's going to be fun. It's going to be a good football game tonight. Let's move it to a 49ers Q&A. Eric Gomes wants you to ask some good questions. He's in the all caps crew right now. A lot of people don't think that was a holding. Sure, it might not have been a holding, but I think the 49ers would have lost anyway. I think the defense and offense were so bad in that game that even a big special teams play from Deebo Samuel wouldn't have saved the 49ers. Might have kept that game interesting a little bit longer, but that's about it. That's about all that you missed out on, thanks to that call. Is it time to move Juice to tight end 2 and get him some help at fullback? I don't think so. I think Kyle Juszczyk is so unique with the type of blocks that he can execute at the fullback position. It's a different body type than tight end. Tight end, you need the 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", frame. You want that lower center of gravity for some of the blocks at fullback. And Juszczyk also has the receiving ability to go out, catch some passes. But I think he's great where he's at now. He was one of the better 49ers in this game. They didn't have a lot of guys graded out very well. Kyle Juszczyk, though, was one of them. When they needed to get the pass game going, they sent Juszczyk out into the flat. He made a really, really, really good catch. This month is all about gratitude. So I'd like to take a moment to thank. I've always thanked Mike before in the past. Like to take a moment. Why don't we thank Kyle Juszczyk? Kyle Juszczyk is great in the locker room. He answers all our questions about scheme, about, you know, just how the 49ers are operating. I've learned a lot from Kyle Juszczyk over the course of my time covering the 49ers. I joined The Athletic. Now I'm with the San Francisco Standard, but I joined The Athletic the same year that Kyle Juszczyk joined the 49ers. So Kyle Juszczyk is who I'm going to shout out to. And this month is all about gratitude. So along with Kyle Juszczyk, there's another person that we don't get to thank enough, ourselves. It's sometimes hard to remind ourselves that we're trying our best to make sense of everything. And in this crazy world, that isn't easy. So here's a reminder to send some thanks to the people in your life, including yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LombardiLounge today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/LombardiLounge. Check it out at that website. As Mike has put the hashtag down at the bottom. Good stuff. All right, one more question. Here's a good comment. Juice is quietly having a great season. He's consistently really good. And anybody that questions his value to the 49ers doesn't understand the sport. point blank. Kind of like those who question Brock Purdy's value to the 49ers. It's often the same type of people, right? They don't get football. They don't understand the X's and O's. They don't understand how it works. They're casuals, as we like to call them. But Kyle Juszczyk, very valuable to the 49ers, just like Brock Purdy. I think it's time to go watch some football. I know the game's already started. So everybody check out the grades. They're up on the San Francisco Standard. Link is in the YouTube description. So head on over to YouTube if you're watching on Twitter. If you're listening on the podcast, go over to the YouTube. Hit subscribe there as well. And then check out the Standard. You can sign up. Link is in the description. We'll talk to you very soon.